Due to the length of this episode, it'll be a two-parter. Enjoy part one. Thank you and have a good day.
Out, but we do got to call it an end on this one. So thank you for coming in it was amazing. This is I think one of those few times that we got to really just like kind of nerd out on comic book history and everything with somebody who knows what they're talking about. I like when we have people on that make me look stupid, so I like that because I'm usually wrong on stuff, so having somebody who could actually intelligently speak through all this was very fun. I like that a lot, so thank you for show. As always, thank the audience for being here, and follow us again next week on Stream of Consciousness. You can see us on streamofconsciousnesspodcast.com, also on the app on your iPhone, and FM radio? FM, what is it called, Joel?
Good enough. And disco.
All right, night, everybody. Are we live?
Working on it.
And welcome back to Stream of Consciousness Podcast.
You don't have the same enthusiasm, Mike. You gotta do a little more gusto, a little more oomph.
Hi, welcome to Stream of Consciousness Podcast.
You're doing all that shit and saying, wow, you gotta have
fun. I'm doing it on purpose.
Do it
the way I want to do it.
Do it like you got a pair, Joel.
Welcome to Stream of Consciousness Podcast. I am your host, Joel Michael Sandwich Cox. This is Joe, first mate, Stout. You shut up. And special guest, Andy Galeo.
Warrior.
Scottish name.
That was pretty good timing. The music stopped right at the end.
Yeah, it's almost like we planned that out.
Yeah.
Because we're professionals.
That's what we do around here.
I hear you're popular in Germany.
And Russia.
Top professionals are.
You're still not certain where those numbers came from.
Like, well, you know, it's not popular here. Might as well be popular in Germany. can't
be good, be lucky.
Well, the numbers in America came up too, so.
Yeah, we bumped up our American numbers recently too, so that's
don't know how that happened.
What are your American numbers?
17,000 right now.
Wow. We can make up anything we want. Nobody knows. 200 million.
I'll pull the stats up right now.
We're giving Joe Rogan a run for his money.
I highly doubt that.
Not even close. No, he's killed. Actually, I started listening to his podcast. I didn't listen to his podcast.
I listened to bits and pieces because he interviews Joey Diaz.
Who's Joey Diaz?
He's a New York comic.
Okay.
I don't know how the man's still alive, because he's done that much cocaine and drugs.
Enough cocaine to kill a small horse.
Yeah.
Hey, Robin Williams made an entire career out of that one. But, I listened to him for the first time with, he had Kevin Smith on from Mallrats and everything else, and weirdly enough, one of the guys that I started working with recently, he came from Vegas. He lived in Vegas. He was actually born in Brooklyn, but then he moved to Vegas, and now he's in Pittsburgh. But we were talking about Vegas, and then we started talking about, you know, this, that, whatever. We got into podcasts, and I said, you know, we talked about Vegas a lot on our podcast, and he's like, oh, I didn't know you do a podcast. And then he starts talking about the Joe Rogan one, and I'm like, as long as we've been doing a podcast, I've never listened to a podcast until about 2, maybe 3 months ago. It was the first time I even listened to one, other than ours, obviously. He said that he did one with Kevin Smith, and I'm like, Kevin Smith's one of those guys, he could read the back of a cereal box and I would listen to him
go through it. He
talks about absolutely nothing, and I'm hanging on every word like it's the most important thing to me ever. Like, he should be like a college professor or something. Mm-hmm. If he could teach astrophysics, we'd all be geniuses, because I just love listening to him.
So, the last time I saw him, he was doing a college tour, and one of the things that enamored me to him, I guess, was he reminds me a lot of an old buddy of mine, and even the way he like pushes his glasses up on his face, I'm like, wow, that's my buddy. And just he just babbles on and on. He was talking about filming this thing for Prince, and how his film ran out, and Prince was just up there being Prince, like he was off in his own little dimension. He's just like, just make it like you're still rolling.
Did you hear the story of that tribute song he did? I forget who died, but Prince was supposed to show up for a practice. He didn't show up, and
Prince or Kevin Smith?
No, Prince.
Okay.
It was a tribute. Some famous songwriter died, or guitarist died.
Okay.
And they're in this like tribute to him, so they all playing the guitar, and Prince never showed up for the practices. So the day of the thing, they're playing. If you watch the video, Prince is like looking at the guy like, I don't need to practice. I'm fucking Prince. I can do what I want.
Prince plays while he's dead. Like, he's amazing.
Is that video with the Tom Petty? And
I think so.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who the tribute is for, but I've seen that a few times.
Oh, the numbers you're asking about. So, 35.
But, yeah, so I'm okay with the numbers, but the audience has been staring at a map of the world for the last however long.
2 minutes.
Okay.
So 35,000 U.S., 3,700 in Russia.
Don't show them this. I'm gonna start lying about these numbers. No. So it's like,
I expect this to be like 5 in the U.S., 1 in Russia, 5 in China. These numbers are way better than I expected.
No, we're killing it. That's awesome. I cannot believe. I wish we could have a little breakdown of where in the U.S. we're doing. Because according to this, I mean, we have listeners in Alaska right now. Canada's listening to us.
I actually could, too. If I took the time, I could probably tell you where they are.
Too much effort. We'll do it on another time.
Yeah, not much effort right now.
Well, since I've become aware of your podcast, I listen to you regularly from across the halls.
It's easy to track that one down. That's we know right where you are. So that's one of the 3,000.
So how many episodes have you listened to, Andy?
Well, I've watched the live episode since we became friends on Facebook. Now I've tracked down a few other of the I think they were just audio.
We've had a lot of really great audio ones. I like that we're getting back into video again. We started off with video, and weirdly enough, I actually just was going through and looking at some of the old videos that we did, and they weren't horrible.
The problem with
but
video,
you can see how much we've progressed.
The problem with video was the idea was like, hey, let's talk about this, and then I'd throw it on the screen. Well, what happened is I'd go to edit the video, and then I had to go back and look the stuff up again, and then splice it in and figure out when it would all go in. But now we have this OBS software, I can do it live. So now there's no editing involved. I just throw the stuff on the screen and switch over.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's and you're getting a little behind the scenes look at what goes on. But really, for like the audience when they're looking at home, it's basically just you know, there's Coney Island and there's the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
But Joel's put a lot of effort and a lot of money into. You don't really see all the screens, all the microphones are all new. There's a lot of effort and time that he's put into. And basically, I wrote down some dirty words in my phone, and that's what I show up with. Joel's like, I got a new mixer and new microphones and a new speaker, and we're able to cut from one to the other.
Mm.
And I'm like, I just wrote down the word dookie joke, and that's all I brought in with me today.
We used to use my old MacBook, and it got to the point where it'd be recording, it would just die. And I had to go back and like, oh, here's where we started, and had to do another edit, and it was just a nightmare.
Well, you know, I missed your live show today because I went to go rewatch Infinity War.
Ah.
But I have to go back and watch it because you're running the board, right?
Yes, it was absolutely fantastic. The show went as smooth as humanly possible. It didn't go smooth by a long shot, but it wasn't even like as enough of a train wreck to be entertaining. It was just one of those shows where you're just like, what's going on? And I think we looked at IMDb for like 5 minutes straight. You just know, hey, Mr. Rogers has a movie coming out, and that's all that really happened on it. So it wasn't even bad enough to be good.
Wait, Mr. Rogers has a movie coming out?
Well, there's the Mr. Rogers. Who's playing the Mr. Rogers in the movie? Somebody told me Tom Hanks was, but that was definitely not Tom Hanks.
I'm not seeing that.
Yeah, I don't think that's so. A whole other. Is it?
It's funny thing is Tom Hanks is on there.
Well, Tom Hanks is everything else. That's what we were talking about, Boys and Buddies, is how we got into the whole Tom Hanks thing. But, yeah, who's playing Mr. Rogers, It's You I Like? Is that the name of the movie?
I think so.
Wait, or is that, I think you passed it up. Go back one. So I decided to mix a little bit of little bourbon with my Gatorade today. And so if anybody's thinking about doing that at home, I strongly recommend against it. Because this is... Was delightful is what it is.
I don't know what
it's. I just
what
want
flavor Gatorade is it?
This is white Glacier Cherry. Why is Cherry not one of the red ones? Why is Glacier Cherry the white one?
Why don't you be my neighbor? That's what it's called.
Oh, that's.
And that's what it should be called. I couldn't imagine it being called anything else.
Yeah, I'll tell you what though, and I think a lot of it is. Maybe just because Mr. Rogers is a
looks
Pittsburgh
like it's
guy.
Just, it's a documentary, so.
Joanne Rogers as herself. Wait, there's who's playing?
No, there isn't. It's a documentary about him. So.
Oh, I thought it was like a legit movie that they were making.
I think you're thinking about the Jim Carrey movie.
That's probably why Mr. Rogers looks so much like Mr. Rogers. I saw the posters and everything everywhere, and I'm like, wow, this guy really looks like Mr. Rogers.
Was this the Carrey movie where he's the thing about where he plays, what's his name from Taxi?
Oh, well, Oh, I knew his name just a second ago, and now it won't come out.
Kidding. That's he's in a series called Kidding that's coming out. And basically, he's a TV icon like Mr. Rogers. But,
What's the name? Andy Kaufman, on the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Kaufman was the... I'm sorry, you were getting a little into Kidding there, but I was... Andy Kaufman was going to drive me nuts if I didn't remember it. Which, that was another one. Like, that... Jim Carrey took a wild left turn, man. He was, like, so great of an actor and so entertaining. And, like... Mm-hmm. I mean, I liked watching him in his goofy movies, and even whenever you went into, like, all the serious ones, like he did Truman Show and stuff like that. Like, I love watching Jim Carrey, and then he just went bonkers out of nowhere. He really kind of, like, lost his mind. And he started doing, like, some little stuff. He has this, which it's... At the time, it was kind of funny, but now it's just creepy, where he had, like, this love letter that he read off to Emma Stone. And meantime, Jim Carrey is, what, like, he's got to be in he's in his mid-40s, at least, I believe, and Emma Stone, at the time, was, like, 18. So it's super creepy. But when you first heard it, like, when it came out a while ago, you're like, oh, Jim Carrey being Jim Carrey, how funny. But it turns out, no, he's just, he's gone batshit.
Mm.
So... Yeah, he's a little cookie. I think he has a new movie coming out that looks pretty good. I'll watch anything. You put Jim Carrey in it, I'll watch it.
But, I can't even think of the movie where he was. It was some sort of serious role. It was some sort of Down Home. I can't remember, but it seemed like it was supposed to be a very serious movie. Not like the Truman Show had some very humorous moments. You weren't supposed to
the one with the
take
theater?
It straight.
There's the Majestic. Was the
yeah,
one
the Majestic.
That's,
that was
yeah,
it.
That's another really good one.
Well,
last thing I liked it. I thought it was really good, but when I first watched it, I don't think I appreciated it as much because I was really hoping for a funny Jim Carrey movie, and I watched it, and it was like, it wasn't funny. Like, it was a couple little jokes here. Never really not a Jim Carrey movie. You went from Ace Ventura, or whatever he did before that, from that to the Majestic, and it was too big of a step, and I didn't like it because of that. Well, then it was on TV again many, many months or a year later, whatever, and I watched it again, and it's actually a really great movie. You have to step in. I don't know how it would play now, because how old's the Majestic? What do we have up there? I mean, this is the guy from Dumb and Dumber and Ace Ventura and
Majestic 2001.
Okay, so then that was actually before he
right
did,
after the Color.
No, wait. No, he did. This is Living Color started back in 1990.
Yeah,
it ended in 2001. That's why
I was saying he did it before.
He did it after. Sorry. He did after Living Color. And Living Color was like his first like real step onto. That's when he very.
You know
first
what was
came
an
in.
Interesting movie was Eternal Sunshine of the
Spotless
Mind.
That was another really good. But that wasn't too big of a step out of comedy for him. I don't think.
No.
Like he went from being. I mean, it was a very goofy movie, but it wasn't. It was serious, but at the same time, it wasn't. It wasn't like
he did a lot of stuff before.
It wasn't him doing drama. Yeah, but none of it was any good. He did Rubberface, and he did a bunch of like no name.
But I'm just saying, like I thought he like in Living Color was the first thing he ever did.
No. That wasn't he. That's when he first got known. That's when he kind of stepped into the limelight.
Who was that? What was that thing that he did with the guy from Thumb Wars?
Who's Thumb? What's Thumb Wars?
It was a Star Wars spoof with puppets. He's done movie things. Thumb Wars was the first thing that comes to mind, but he did a movie that Carrey was in.
Okay, I don't know that one. That's funny.
Jim Carrey actually plays Death.
Wait.
And they use a Rubberface reference in that movie.
So it's after Rubberface. It's not Mr. Popper's Penguins. But Fun with Dick and Jane. Fun with Dick and Jane was another really good one. But that was back to his funny stuff again. But yeah, he's one of those guys that like he really came in really strong. And if he had not kind of went a little bonkers, he would still be. He was like the first one.
He's an artist now.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he. I just watched some sort
like
of
like a painter artist.
Yeah, I don't know what his stuff goes for, or if even if he sells it. But he started going into this very strong.
High Strung is the one he's uncredited as Death.
Hmm?
High Strung.
High Strung was the name of the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Who was the director or whatever?
Directed by Roger Neigert.
That's not the guy I had in mind.
Okay. By the way, did you know that Peter Jackson used to write garbage?
Peter Jackson, Lord of the Rings Peter
yeah.
Jackson?
So
okay.
There's a movie called the fumbles. It's basically like, you know that new Sesame, that like non-Sesame Street dirty puppet movie?
Wait, say that one more time.
The non-Sesame Street puppet movie?
We gotta work on enunciation with you, Joel.
No, we don't.
Okay. Melissa McCarthy's in that.
Yeah.
McCarthy?
Well, apparently he did a version of that before them.
No kidding. That movie looks hilarious.
Yeah.
Have you seen the preview for this? The Melissa McCarthy, she's this detective. It's like almost like Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Usually I hear her name, I do an immediate right to my body.
No, I actually love her. I think I'm one of the few people that really like her. Like every time I talk about her, people are like, no, I can't stand her.
Happy Time Murders.
She's hilarious. Yeah, Happy Time Murders. It's like a cross between Who Framed Roger Rabbit and...
Has animation and stuff?
Well, no, it's all Muppets instead of the cartoons.
Oh, really?
But it's this goofy one where it's her and she like goes around like solving her and her Muppet partner. But yeah, it's Lethal Weapon with Muppets is what it is.
Hi, folks.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, this. I think it looks great. I can't wait for this one. I can't believe that they got the rights to be able to do this. Like,
well, it's a great price. Here's the thing: they're not Muppets.
No, but like they're advertising it like it's a Muppet thing. Like, I think they even say the word Muppets.
Well, they say this is.
They call it something about Sesame Street.
All Sesame knows Street.
Someone out there is killing puppets.
Oh,
hey, they do say puppets. They don't say Muppets.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That's
even better.
Got a
good time for you.
We're going to catch the bastards who did these murders. His bodies are going to start piling up.
Yeah. The fact that you can say Sesame Street in this.
No, Sesame.
I'm in the fucking
Street.
FBI.
Oh, yeah? What's that stand for? Fucking big idiot?
Yeah, I can't wait to take my kids to see this.
What?
I'm not sure we.
God, are you alright?
I ruptured my hymen!
I'm not doing this.
Do it!
She's either really great in a movie or really terrible. It's either Bridesmaids or it's Tammy. Like, she has no in between.
That is good shit!
Well, fuck me!
Maybe!
Please fill in.
That's the dude from The Office.
Yeah. Is that what I think it is?
That's kind of class act production podcast that we run here. We need better time pillars than that, Joel. We're better than that.
No,
we're
not.
Of us.
Let's not lie. we're not above anything.
Oh, Joel.
So there's that.
Yeah,
that filled 2 minutes of the show.
But here's the thing. The one that Peter Jackson wrote is worse than that one.
How is that possible? No, I think that looks great, though.
A good one. But I'm saying the one he wrote was, like, creepy and scary.
Okay, now that I buy, because Peter Jackson is... Wait, Peter Jackson is Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah.
Who's Game of Thrones? What's his name?
R.R. Martin.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know why I always get that mixed up. For some reason. Yeah. I know, just the names. I always get that. It's one of those goofy things. Like, I don't think that they necessarily... But Peter Jackson and R.R. Martin are ones that I always... When I hear one, I always think the opposite for some reason. But, we're back to us? All right.
Yeah.
Just making sure, because I know that we're having problems with that flip over.
No, it's the space bar. Let's take care of that.
All right, all good.
When you were... the creepy thing you were saying with Peter Jackson, it makes me think of Guillermo del Toro. Didn't he work with him on Lord of the Rings with, like, the weird elf guys?
Oh, that I didn't know.
Yeah, it's... who's Guillermo del Toro?
Hellboy?
Yeah, Hellboy.
Shape of Water.
Okay, yes, yes.
The Academy Award winning.
Yeah. For some reason, I gotta look the guy up. I can't remember his name. He was in Fear and Loathing. His partner.
Oh, Benicio del Toro.
Yeah, I always think of him.
Yes, I do that too. I get that. That's another one.
Oh, like that guy's a director?
That was Johnny Depp in that.
Yeah,
Johnny Depp, Benicio del Toro. That was one of those ones. I watched that with a bunch of my buddies. We went to go to the theater, and maybe I wasn't high enough or something for that movie, but I did not love that. Not that I wasn't high enough. I wasn't high at all because I don't smoke pot. But like we went to go watch that movie, and I remember like at the end of it, everybody being like what? Oh, that's a great movie! And we're in the theater, and like who claps at a movie in the theater? But like people were clapping at the end. I know you do, you weirdo. At the end of the movie, like, and I'm just like in shock and awe. Like I'm just watching the screen. Like that can't be what I just watched. Like did I just waste 2 hours of my movie and $10? But yeah, that was like such an odd movie, and it got so acclaimed. Like everybody loved that, and it's one of those ones that I keep saying I want to go back and rewatch and really see if maybe like in my youth I didn't understand it, I didn't get it, it didn't resonate with me.
I found a lot of movies that like when I was younger, I'm like, oh, that's scary, or oh, and then I'm like, boy, I was naive.
I hate going back and rewatching a movie because it always ruins that illusion. Like we were talking before about Austin Powers. Like I watched and I loved it. That was the funniest movie I'd ever seen until I rewatched it. And it's the worst movie I've ever seen.
I have plenty of movies like that. Labyrinth was, or not Labyrinth, Legend.
Legend with Tom Cruise
was my all-time favorite movie for years and years. There's nothing that surpassed Legend. I just tried to watch it. I don't even know if it was a year ago with my wife. She's looking at this. She's like, this is dumb. This is stupid.
This
I'm like,
is terrible.
What are you saying? How am I married to you? And I started looking at it from her point of view. I'm like, wow, this movie is
dumb.
Really is a bad
movie.
That's
like a Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Like, we saw those as kids, and we loved it. But we've never saw it as a kid. And at first, we're like, why are they talking like that? I'm like, that was your class.
Bill and Ted.
California kids. That's how they talk.
Yeah. No, that's funny because you go back and you watch, because like, and we don't really, Sarah and I don't, she is not a movie watcher, so like we don't watch movies together too often. Very seldom do we get any kind of, and if we do, it's usually like we go to the theater to watch a movie, but we don't sit down on the couch and watch a movie together. But occasionally I'll go, you really gotta watch, I really loved whatever. And we've been married long enough now that I've learned to not do that anymore, but there's like quite a few movies I put her through that I was like, you gotta watch so and such movie, and we sit down and we watch them, and a lot of times it's just like I'm watching it and I'm like, I'm watching her more than I'm watching the movie, waiting for her reaction, and she's not reacting the way that I want her to react, and I'm just going, you know what, I get it. Like, I don't know why I thought whatever so and such movie was any good, because there's a lot of them you just can't go back and watch. And like even like the big thing now with all like the Marvel movies and like the Avengers and you go back and watch those. I can still watch Iron Man. The first Iron Man, I still swear, is the best of the Marvel movies. I love that. It's timeless for me. There are certain movies that no matter how often I've seen them or how long it's been, Good Will Hunting is the best movie of all time, in my opinion. Always will be. I love that. If it's on TV, I no matter what else is going on, I stop and I start watching that movie. Like, I just can't walk away from it. But like, I think of like all the movies we watch now and how like one day I'm going to like try to rewatch, you know, Avengers or whatever, and I'm going to come back and look at them. And I'm like, part of me is like worried as I watch a movie now in my adulthood. I watch it thinking, will I like this movie in 10 years, in 5 years? Is it still going to be a good movie? Is it something that I'm going to come back and I'm going to go, I'm proud that I saw that movie. I like that.
Well, it's like being in the movie Super Troopers. When that movie first came out, I'm like, I got to see this movie. This movie's going to be amazing. And then everyone calls, why are you seeing that movie in the theater? That movie's garbage. Why are you going to see it?
Super Troopers?
Yeah.
Who said that?
Everybody was in the theaters. It came out on DVD and everyone's buying it. Like, this movie's awesome. Like, no, you can't get to say that. You told me I wasted my money.
There are some movies that are definitely better on video than they are. Like we were talking about, just came out, Upgrade. Upgrade. Mm-hmm. Upgrade is not a theater movie. It's not going to do well in the theaters. It's one of those movies that once it hits DVD, once it hits video, once it's on Netflix, people are going to swarm to it, and I think it's going to be a really big movie. But I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know how it's actually going to play out. But it's and I think Matrix was another one of those ones. Like Matrix, I don't know how it did in the box office. It was an amazing movie, but I bet that it's DVD sales.
The Matrix blew my mind.
Yes.
The movie
yes.
theater. From the point where they walk into the hotel lobby, from that until the end, I was literally white knuckled on the edge of my seat.
It was like such an amazing story that was so original and it was so unique. $171 million. In the box office?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but like, okay, so the, how did it do after that is what I'm saying, is like, because that's actually pretty good numbers. The Matrix kind of killed it, but when it goes to, once it like left that, it feels like, it's like Firefly. Firefly was one of those shows that people were like, how did that ever get canceled? I don't think its ratings were all that great, but once it was gone, people were like, how dare you?
But here's the thing. At that time, I forget, it was like three different Fox producers, and they all killed each other's projects. And with Firefly, they didn't show the first episode first. They showed the second episode first, and they showed the episodes out of order. So it was, they set it up to fail.
I think when I watched,
so when it,
it
came out on DVD,
out
so when it came out on DVD, people could watch in order, and it made more sense.
Right. No, and I'm not saying it wasn't a great show. It was a great show, but it didn't do well. It didn't pull in an audience that wanted to see that. I think if it came out now with the way that Netflix is and the live streaming and how you can binge watch a show, because really when it came out, you didn't have that option. You watched it, you wait a week, you watch it, you wait a week, you watch it. Whereas now you have the option to sit down and DVD or to Netflix or to, you can binge watch a show, and it makes a massive difference on it.
Yeah, so Firefly had a pretty big following because that's how I learned of it, was through the following. I wasn't aware of it actually until Serenity.
Yeah.
Like, Serenity, what's this? What's all this Firefly everything people keep speaking about? Then I went back from... Serenity was a weird movie because it came out at the time. There were five different movies that were almost the exact same movie, like Underworld, Aeon Flux, where was the Super Chick, Super Ninja Chick movie that just beats up every... There was like five, but it was the exact same movies, and I think that's one of the reasons why it came out. But I heard about Firefly through the following.
And that's one of those things. If you watched Serenity was the movie, right? So if you watched Serenity, it by itself really couldn't stand alone and do well.
It could.
But you had to be a Firefly fan to appreciate Serenity. But then again, if you watched Serenity and then tried to go back and watch Firefly, you weren't going to get the same result out of it. You weren't going to enjoy it in the same way that
it's kind of like going to see Infinity War.
But I did the same thing. I didn't know, and I was lucky enough that I had people like Joel and other friends that all my nerdy friends that kind of said, hey, listen, don't jump into the movie. Go back, start from the beginning, watch it.
That's like going to see Infinity War and not watching any other Marvel movies.
Yes. Right.
There's so much stuff in there that
you can't jump into. Right, you have no idea what's going on or why the characters aren't.
You need that build. Could, but you would have to immediately go back and start finding.
I'm saying all that small stuff.
You're going to lose a lot not doing it, though. You can watch that movie by itself.
Well, you can. But I'm saying, but you don't know all the intricacies. Like they pack a lot of stuff in there.
Right,
like that cell phone with
Steve Rogers.
Mm-hmm. Like all the stuff that was in previous movies.
Oh, right.
Or like whenever.
A lot of previous references.
Yeah, there's so many previous references.
And you're not going to feel as emotional about I watching the movie, I didn't think it was like really like a heartbreaking moment, but kind of like the gut wrencher, the tear jerker of the movie was whenever. And has it been long enough? Can I kind of ruin?
It's
kind
been
of spoil?
A couple weeks at this point. I just
it'll be another 2 months before this comes out.
Okay, all right. So that I can cover this one. So I hate to spoil because
Fast forward a minute.
Give me 30 seconds here. When Thanos does the Thanos snap, and then all of a sudden everybody starts to just disappear, and then you get Spider-Man just like wilting away, and there's that whole moment between him and Tony Stark where it's just like he's like, I don't want to go, and Stark is just like becomes a father figure at that point. And, I mean, really kind of was a little bit all the way along, but really first time that you see him feel as if he's a father. Mm-hmm. Towards Spider-Man, and just that moment of like that heartbreak, you don't really appreciate and acknowledge that if you hadn't seen Homecoming and all, like really if you don't know, I mean if you haven't seen Iron Man 1, 2, and 3 at this point and all of the Avenger movies he's been in, then shame on you, but that was like you don't know that character well enough to know he's a super selfish person who then in turn is really kind of giving, and they've kind of beaten that a little bit to death where whenever he which one was the one where he takes the rocket into the wormhole?
Avengers.
Is that just the first Avengers? Okay, whatever he does the and you're like, okay, they're playing him as he's no longer this selfish character, so you've already crossed that threshold. So for them to kind of go, okay, how do we make him even less selfish, giving him Spider-Man as like a son type character, sort of like that Batman and Robin, that father and son, that Host and Ward kind of thing, really progressed that. But if you hadn't seen all that and you hadn't seen all that interaction, you're gonna miss the moment as much. You're just gonna go, well, he's a sad Spider-Man, he's going away.
That's like, was it in Iron Man 3 where there's the young boy that was had the potato shooter or whatever, and he kind of makes as though he's gonna keep blowing his kid off and whatever. He's like, you know, please take care of me. He's like, see you later, kid. And at the end of the movie, he like builds him his dream lab in his barn. So yeah, you do see some of that. It actually kind of
I guess I kind of forgot about that because Iron Man 3 didn't. It wasn't my favorite of the Iron Man movies.
You like 2 better than 3?
I think I did like 2
really?
Better.
Really?
1 was definitely the best by hand.
Because 3 had
This boils down to that whole which one was better, Return of the Jedi or Empire Strikes Back, where everybody's going to have a different opinion on this one.
Well, most people I've heard said that 2 was total garbage. And the reason people love 3 because it was basically the Christmas story with Tony Stark.
It was what?
The Christmas story.
Yeah.
Because you got past Tony Stark, present, future, and then future of Tony Stark.
The reason I love 3 is because it's a spy movie with Tony Stark and with his Iron Man gadgetry.
Yeah,
without the full Iron Man stuff.
Like he goes to the hardware store and he suits up.
See, and that's part of what I liked about the first one was he was Iron Man, but he was Tony Stark becoming Iron Man, and it was they start off with like that sort of anemic suit that he had that was the Ironmonger one, where it wasn't really Iron Man, it wasn't all this technology, he wasn't the invincible Iron Man yet, he was just some guy becoming Iron Man, and that's what I liked about it. I've always favored characters that are more fallible.
Well, I like the fact that like in the first movie you got to see him fail and almost kill himself trying out the stuff. That's why like Batman Begins, because that one line, he goes, well, you know, go to those parties, psychotropic drugs that they've been doing. That's what I've been doing all night.
And well, there's two types of audience members. There are those who love a fallible character, those who like someone who has adversity powered against them, and then there are those who like a character who... represent, like the Superman. If you take the two farthest characters in comic book history that I can think of are Superman and Spider-Man. If you look at the way that those characters are and the way they've evolved, Superman is indestructible. You cannot hurt him. Other than a tiny little piece of green rock that comes from a alien planet, he's a god. There's no stopping Superman. And I understand the comic books, he's died and all that blah 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 stuff. But in general, he's not a character that can be hurt. There's not a whole lot against him. He's not fighting. He's not a common man. He's not the me. I have no relationship to Superman. But then you have Spider-Man, and he gets punched in the nose and he bleeds, and he gets a cold, and he's sick while he's trying to fight crime, and he still has to pay rent, and he still has all of the common man problems. He has blue-collar issues like I have, and that's always made me relate to that. Superman, I think, is the worst comic book character of all time, and there are about 50% of the population who would punch me in the face for that. No, not. Well, you know, and Aquaman's in the same boat, but here's what I like about Aquaman is people hate Aquaman. Here's what I hate about Aquaman. Jason Momoa. I hate Jason Momoa with a passion. I'm going to fight him one day.
Man, lose.
He doesn't know. First of all, I don't need your negativity in my life.
It's realism.
There's nothing. I could probably take him.
I've done Vegas odds, Joe.
Me versus Momoa.
Let me put it this way.
Me versus Momoa.
If I put a dollar on you with the Vegas odds you have right now, I'll never have to work again.
I'm saying
he's gonna make you run the board again.
I'm up for that. I challenge Momoa. We have 4,000 some odd viewers right now. There's a solid chance that one of them knows Jason Momoa. I challenge you, Momoa, to a fist fight. Fisticuffs, me and Momoa.
They say there's only 7 degrees.
That's right.
Separate people.
So. This is 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon right now. So me and Momoa are getting into a fight live on this podcast. It's happening. I'm in, and I'm gonna kick the daylights out of him.